What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the first episode of the Avalanche Warning Podcast, your latest Colorado Avalanche podcast, bringing you all the news from around the Colorado Avalanche organization. And I've got my co-host Gavin here. What a day to announce the podcast, Gavin.
Yeah, perfect timing, almost like you planned it. I'm not convinced you're not an insider. You had something to do with this, but yeah, can't wait to be here.
I'm no comment. I of all the things that I expected to happen when I posted this announcement this morning, a trade was not one of them, or at least a trade of this size. It was just announced today that Charlie Coyle and Miles Wood are officially on the move to the Columbus Blue Jackets. In return, the Blue Jackets have sent a 2027 conditional second round pick, a 2025 third rounder, which will be taking place on Saturday, which is tomorrow as of recording this. And we get Gavin Brindley, 20-year-old prospect who played with the Cleveland Monsters this last season. Gavin, we were chatting a little bit before hitting record here, and you had a lot to say. Yeah. About this trade kind of entails. Started off here with the amount of cap space this opens up in moving Coyle and Wood. You get a $5.25 million contract in Coyle off the books, in addition to a $2.5 million four-year contract in Miles Wood off the books as well, opening up almost $9 million in cap space. July 1st is right around the corner. What can the Avs do with that?
Basically a ton. I mean, you've seen guys speculating, and there's always guys on the free agent class. Frankly, this free agent class is buns, for lack of a better word. It's not good. Sam Bennett is most likely going to be re-signed by the Florida Panthers, so he's not going to be on there. Neither is Brad Marchand. Like, there's a potential that Ekblad also re-signs. So it's a high probability that the Avs don't even have any of those guys to sign. Obviously, their second line center is filled, so they don't need to. But there are a lot of guys out there like Anthony Mantha that every team wants to unlock his potential but just hasn't. So do you go with a guy like that? Do you go with a guy like, I think his name is Vladislav Gavrikov? He plays for the LA Kings. He's very good. He's like 6'7", 6'5", like 230 pounds. Monster of a human being that also plays good offense and defense, is a great transition player and would be perfect in the AV system, but that guy's probably going to make $7 million. So really, sky's the limit for what the Avs can do in free agency. You're looking at a situation right now with Logan O'Connor injured where you have your bottom six to tinker with and your bottom four defensemen potentially if you want to make any type of moves, which is a lot better than pining after a second line center or wings or anything like that. So all you're really looking at is, can you find me bottom six wingers? And I think so. I mean, I'm really excited for what this offseason brings. I think it's going to be a lot. This is not the end of the trades or the signings. I mean, Sam Molinsky is most likely going to get re-signed, which is awesome because I think that kid is really good. And it's also interesting to see what Gavin Brindley will be in the Eagles system. But yeah, I'm honestly, excitement is the name of the game. This is going to be a fairly interesting offseason when we thought it would be really boring for the Avs because they were pretty much done. But they decided to make it interesting for us. So credit to them.
I was going to say, this is a far cry from Elliot Friedman just a week ago saying he doesn't feel like the Avalanche need to do much. So. Yeah, no.
I was very coy when they were like, yeah, we might move Coyle.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think it's just little sprinklings. Don't see anything to it. It's, I mean, you think about Necas and all the rumors surrounding him, and he kind of looped them together and saying he didn't think they're going anywhere. Makes you wonder. Yeah. I personally don't think he goes anywhere, but.
No, I don't. I think you have a over point per game right wing making $6.5 million. I mean, that's really good. If you do trade him, it would be interesting to see what you find. But then you now have to answer the question, like, okay, where do you find better value for a guy that produces that much? It's tough.
Who's essentially a fitting puzzle piece for a guy for next to Nathan MacKinnon.
Really is. You could say that maybe they're redundant together. They didn't really seem redundant. They seemed very complimentary when they were together. But hey, you know what? There's more than one line in hockey, and you're allowed to move players down them. So you could potentially break up the awesome line of Brock Nelson and Nichushkin and Landeskog, which was one of the best lines in the playoffs in such a short sample size. I don't know why you would want to, but there's plenty of options here. And really, when you're looking towards it, you can see Ross Colton is most likely going to be your third line center. And you're just looking for wings to fill him out. So it's going to be, I don't think there's a lot of movement that's going to be happening in the top six. I don't think Jonathan Drouin's going to return, even though they have the money for him now. I also, please God, do not sign Ryan Lindgren. That guy sucks. He's not good. That was a horrible trade that we even brought him in the first place.
I will say with Ryan Lindgren, I think if you can, if there is a chance that they circle back and talk about potentially extending him, I don't think it's a contract like the one he just finished off. Like, is signing him for anything over $4 million, I think, would be a massive issue in my book.
I would say the same. Yeah, I'm seeing stuff that he might sign for $4 million somewhere. And I'm sure bad teams that are run by Ron Francis, to name any teams in particular, but we'll just go with the hypothetical of the Seattle Kraken, would maybe give that guy $4 million. But yeah, frankly, Ryan Lindgren is your worst defender in the Dallas series. I think I don't like him very much. I liked him in the first 10 games he played in Colorado, but cups aren't won in April. So
no, I think on paper, he brought a little bit of grit. You've got a defenseman who's maybe got a little bit of size, a little bit of offensive prowess. I totally agree, though, in saying like what he produced later on down the stretch, not something that you want to sign for the price point that he might be asking for. Speaking of potential offensive prowess in defensemen, we've got a forward who was just signed in this trade, who's a little bit of a defensive genius himself, if we're talking about things on the flip side, and Gavin Brindley. You were mentioning before we hit record too that this was a guy you kind of had on your radar back in the 2023 draft.
Yeah, I really like the guy. It actually, funny enough, took me 2 years of 30 minutes ago to know that he's a forward and not a defenseman. I thought that the entire time. But you know, he's awesome. I mean, I really like the guy. He's not only is his first name awesome, but is
no bias or anything.
Yeah, no bias. But no, he's also a very tenacious player. It was very interesting to learn that he's a tenacious forechecker. He's very small. He's 5'9". He's like not even 170 pounds. So it's going to be a path for him to the NHL. A very interesting path. We've seen guys do it. I mean, Cole Caulfield is an example of that. It's size in the NHL isn't the end all be all, but it is important. Don't let anyone ever tell you that size doesn't matter in the NHL. Well, no, I wasn't even going to go there. But yeah, it's important, but it's not the only thing to the game. The guy definitely throws his weight around. He's an incredibly offensive producing player. He was great in Michigan. He absolutely tore it up with Frank Nazar. He was incredibly effective. And then he got to the AHL and struggled a bit. He only had 17 points in about, I think, 50-some games. So it wasn't the best to see. He's going to be playing in Loveland. He's going to be in the AHL. Knowing the Avalanche and their injury troubles, he's going to get called up if he plays well. But frankly, I think he's got a lot of potential, and it's an interesting prospect to have, because the argument at the time was like, well, we got Callum Ritchie and we should now take Gavin Brindley. And then they took Mikhail Guliev, and it wasn't looking the best because Mikhail Guliev was in the KHL and his production wasn't the best. Mm-hmm. But now we have both. We have both Mikhail Guliev and Gavin Brindley. So at the end of the day, the master plan worked.
It'll be interesting to kind of see too, with a bunch of the coaching changes happening around the league, one of them being Aaron Schneekloff joining the assistant coaching staff up in Seattle. Speak of the Devils, not the actual ones, just those guys. But I'll be interested to see how the system kind of implements him with a new head coach, kind of lording over everything as well. Very interesting to see lots of coaching situations. We still have yet to see a replacement for Ray Bennett with the Colorado Avalanche. So a lot to kind of sit there up in the air. Leading up to free agency, draft starts tonight. They don't have a first round draft pick, but they did acquire a third rounder in addition to the fourth rounder and seventh rounder heading into this 2025 NHL draft. Do you think there's any moves?
I would,
to potentially acquire more picks.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. I think it seems like on draft day, the Avs are either like incredibly casual and don't make moves, or they're wheeling and dealing. We saw last year, they traded their first round pick, and that's when they got a second and a third from, I think, Utah, the Utah Arizona Coyotes slash whatever.
Not anymore with the absence of Josh Young.
Yeah, they just stole the Mammoth's name and decided to name it that. So, yeah, we got Ilya Nabokov, which is the Avs' best goalie prospect. Mm-hmm. And I think he signed his ELC recently.
He did, but he's still on loan in the KHL.
Right. So, yeah, he'll play another year in the KHL, then probably come over to North America. And they also got a prospect in William Zellers, who they then traded for Charlie Coyle. So the Avs have made moves in the past with their draft picks. So I would not expect this year to be any different. They don't have a first or a second. So there's plenty of time for the Avs to basically sit around. The first round is actually only today. So tomorrow will be every other round. Mm-hmm. So there's more than enough time for the Avs to decide to make moves with these picks. They have a third and a fourth in this draft, and then not a whole lot else that you should really care about. This draft is also very interesting. I think it's kind of shallow in its players. It's going to be interesting to see how many moves are made. Is the Islanders Shagan's deal alive, where they get Matthew Schaefer and James Higgins? Because it seems like maybe they're trying to do that right now. But yeah, it's a madhouse. I mean, really, this draft has the potential to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a ton of moves after pick like four. It's a crapshoot between 4 and 12, just where players are going to go. It's basically at the whim of organizations. So, yeah, the Avs are going to be making moves. I guarantee you one of those picks is going to be traded.
I'm interested to see what happens with it, though, because, I mean, you saw last season in Nikita Prishapov that seventh-round draft picks can be successful. What do you see kind of from these potential picks? Is there anybody you've got your eye on for these later rounds for the Avalanche?
Oh, no. Really, I haven't been looking at the draft kids as much. The most I'll do is the top 50, and there are no picks in the top 50 that the Avs have. As of yet, they might just get the first overall pick from the Islanders. No, they won't. But the biggest thing really is I will look pretty closely at who they take at the third overall pick. I think the third round. Because as we saw, like, I kind of wrote off Will Zellers when he was taken just last year in the third round. But Will Zellers had like over 40 goals in the USHL just in his D+1 draft year. So, I mean, really keep your eye on prospects. It's going to be interesting to see who they take. Like I said, after the top 50, this draft is just look at whoever they take and then research him. I wouldn't do any preliminary research before that. That's the scout's job, and they get paid for it.
Oh, yes. Before we get into, you know, all of this money that Wood and Coyle did clear up heading into free agency, want to talk a little bit about the Coyle deal. Coyle was acquired at the trade deadline on March 7th this past season for, I believe that was, what did that trade entail?
I can tell you
off the top
of
my head. Yeah, go for it.
I hate this trade. This trade is bad. This trade is, I haven't made it yet. I was going to make a video about it and give this trade a D. It's an F now. It's horrible. You got Charlie Coyle, a guy, an overpriced third line center, and Hank Kempf, I think, or no, that was maybe, and a fifth or something like that. And in return, you gave up Casey Mittelstadt, who is a young, like former ninth, eighth overall pick, and has a ton of potential in front of him, is signed basically to the same deal for the next 2 years. So he's got more term than Charlie Coyle. That should have been one for one. Fine, whatever. It's a seller's market. So then you give him a second round pick. Like, all right, that should get the deal done. Is there any salary retained on that? No. Mm-mm. Well, also, the Avs also traded William Zellers, who I just talked about, who was a former third round pick. Now, if you think maybe that didn't increase his value, fine. He's still a third. That's still a third round pick. There's still no salary retained on that deal. That's still a horrible contract for a third line center to make. It's one of the biggest reasons that Boston didn't win a cup with all of the great regular season success they had too many expensive contracts. They retained salary on Brandon Carlo when they sent them to Toronto. But with the theme, you'll notice that C-Mac couldn't get a great deal done that benefited the Avs because he just bought market value. So that deal sucks. It sucks to this day. It's better because you were able to trade Charlie Coyle and Miles Wood for picks and a good prospect without having to retain any salary or without having to trade anyone you actually like. But yeah, that deal is not good. But luckily, in a way, I would say that Chris McFarland cleaned up his own mess there.
And then you turn to Miles Wood, who just finished up year two of a six-year contract worth $2.5 million. Adding to that almost $9 million cap space heading into free agency. I just came across a clip that was talking about how whole reason he signed here was because of the environment, because of the winning mentality that the Avalanche has. Columbus was not on his no trade list. I'm assuming in your eyes, this looks a little bit better for Colorado now, given the price point that he kind of came in at.
Yeah, I would say so. Miles Wood is a very tough player because actually I liked him in his first year. He was good. And then he got sick and I think maybe injured. I'm not really sure what the specifics were, but he went away for at least about a month and then he came back and he wasn't really that good. Before that, he was kind of looking like a bit of a baby Lekkonen. I mean, his defensive side was actually kind of all right. His offense was good-ish as a chaos monster right next to Ross Colton and Logan O'Connor. And the first year, you know, 2.5 for a third line wing, whatever, the cap's going to go up. It was looking at least fine. The 6-year term deal is a little bit puzzling part of it, but you kind of would ignore it. And then in his second year, he was extremely injury prone and he just didn't play well. His defensive side completely fell off. His offense fell off. His overall, the speed he used to create chaos in the first place also just wasn't present. So he was kind of just a passenger on a team, and in a winning team, you just can't have that. And he would often find himself in the press box, even when he was healthy, just kind of hanging around. So the writing was on the wall, I think, for Miles Wood. And really, I didn't really have a lot of malice towards the guy until he straight up lost the Avs a playoff game. And then I was like, So it sucks to see. It also sucks because he's like best friends with Ross Colton. And I think their spouses are also friends. So that's tough. You hate to see it because Miles Wood is a good guy.
Absolutely. But with him being gone, like we mentioned, $8.5 million in cap space for the Avalanche heading into free agency. We've already talked a little bit about Drouin and Lindgren being off our books, or at least I personally, if you can bring in Drouin on a cheaper contract, I think this last season kind of proved that he's maybe not worth what he might be asking on the market. I'm hearing around $5 million. I'm not sure that I would like the Avalanche paying him that much. But in looking at the free market available, have some holes in the bottom six that need filling out, potentially sixth or seventh D, depending on what happens with Malinsky and which route the Avalanche go there. What's kind of on your radar?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of free agents, I mean, there are definitely a lot of, like I said, the free agent class is not very good this year. In terms of like extra defensemen, I see the Avs just bringing back Middleton. I think he's already signed and I don't think it's a problem. They liked him as like an eighth defenseman or a seventh defenseman. I don't think he should be your seventh defenseman, but he's incredibly good. I mean, he's obviously huge. He's a monster. And he brings kind of a physical edge to the team that that they just don't have. And I remember seeing him in person at a game, and I was like, oh my God, that guy's a monster. I can think that he's not the best player, but I would never say it to his face because, yeah, I would probably die. But, yeah, you know, in terms of what the Avs want for their seventh or sixth defenseman or whoever they decide to fill out the rest of their D-core, really, there are always the guys that are popular or whatever or in the news, but there seems to be a common trend of the Avalanche always going off the board. I think Jaden Struble is incredibly interesting for the Montreal Canadiens just as a trade piece. I wouldn't understand why Montreal would trade him unless maybe they were given picks or possibly other guys, but Jaden Struble is a good defenseman. He's a good bottom pair guy. He's like elite at penalty killing. He's also really good defensively. So that would be an awesome guy to bring in. But yeah, Montreal wouldn't make that move. But maybe you can catch him on a day where they've been drinking too much. I don't know.
I was going to say right after, what was it, the Dobson trade? I don't know. I think they might be all dealed out.
Yeah. Or no, or maybe you can go to them and say, hey, you guys have so much defense. Maybe now they're more comfortable. There's always a way to swing it.
Fair. All right. That's going to do it for our emergency pod here at the Avalanche Warning. Interesting first episode to start on again. Happy announcement day to the both of us, including Grant, who could not be here today. Work, darn, boo. In the meantime, be sure to hit follow on your favorite listening platform so you're not missing an episode. Be sure to follow us over at Avs Warning Pod on Twitter. Gavin, whatever you would like to plug, the floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, you can find me over at Avs Digest. We are a YouTube channel that makes a lot of short form content that just involves different things. I actually just posted a video about this trade, talked a little bit more in depth about Gavin Brindley, how the roster shakes out. So yeah, definitely that's where you can find me. I might be on Twitter soon, just kind of yapping about stuff that's not established just yet. But as of right now, yeah, that's where you can find me.
As for me, you guys, you can find me over on X at Bailey Curtis, and that's Bailey with two Y's. Find a lot of my content over at The Hockey News. I am the credentialed Colorado Avalanche beat reporter with The Hockey News. Find my articles over there. Just dropped a piece on this trade. Be sure to go check that out. But in the meantime, I'm Bailey. That's Gavin. We'll see you guys next time here at The Avalanche Warning.